This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I am broadcasting live from a really special location this week. I'm at Self Serve Sexuality Resource Center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's right. I'm here in Albuquerque. I'm going to be teaching some classes tomorrow, Saturday, actually. And tonight, I get to do my show live, not in front of a studio audience, just by myself in a room. That's how it worked out schedule-wise. Okay. So, and if you want to check them out, selfservetoys.com. I'm here today with the guest of all guests. Drumroll, please. Raymond Johnson. Hello, Raymond.
Hi, Tristan. Oh, man, I should have sent you my bio and then I could have gotten like the full Tristan Taramino nice introduction. And you can let people know my credentials for talking, you know, as an expert on TV, you know, clips and stuff.
But we should tell people a little bit just so you can plug, because you aren't just like, you've been with Sex Out Loud from the very beginning, day one. But you also have a lot of other things going on. So just tell us briefly about Mountain Shiatsu, all the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, seriously, I'm a retired pop culture writer, to be honest. I was, like, for a while. I did some freelance writing stuff. I think some of my biggest claims to fame is I interviewed Maya about when she was one of the Dancing with the Stars finalists for Out Magazine. But then I also interviewed Asia Kate Dillon about a year and a half ago.
I love them.
Yeah, that was right when they submitted their Emmy category for Best Actor. So it was this sort of realizing that with the Emmys, there actually wasn't really technically any requirement for who could submit for Best Actor and Best Actress.
Right.
And Asia just felt like, you know what, I'm an actor. I've never, you know, that's who I am. And
right.
So they submitted for that.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing a profile for them or whatever.
But also anyway, tell people that you have your own podcast.
I know. I do other stuff now. So now I'm a shiatsu therapist. My practice is called Mountain Zen Shiatsu. And then I also do a podcast called Healing with Raymond and Billy. My friend Billy Janes is also a queer trans person. They're an acupuncturist. And I just really love talking shop with Billy. So I was like, let's figure out a way to record it and start kind of doing it sort of as a theme. So we put together sort of a podcast mini-series. We're about halfway through. I need to get back to editing some of those episodes. But then I also make music, and I also just joined a band, which I'm very excited about. I haven't even told you this, Tristan.
Oh, my God.
This happened like 2 weeks ago.
You're in a band?
Yes, I'm now the keyboard player for Bryn Estelle and her band. I'm part of the her band part.
Oh, my God.
But I'm really excited because it's like an all-trans band, and it's like me and these three awesome trans women, and I'm really fucking excited to just be playing really cool music. Bryn is a great songwriter. She plays like auto harp the way that people play punk electric guitar. She plays the auto harp, and it's really awesome. So I'm really excited to be, it's like a fun way to be part of the community. I never got to be in a band. I was never in a band as like a teenager or anything like that. I was way too much of a nerd. So it's never too late, people. I'm 42 years old. It's never too late. Go join, go make a band with your friends. It's so much fun.
Go be in a band, everyone.
That's right. And that's my plug.
Okay, no, those are good. Those are all good plugs. So tonight we're going to talk about sex on television. You and I people may or may not know this, are big fans of television. And by the way, I was just saying this earlier today. When people are snotty about television and say things like, I don't watch television or I don't own a TV, it's so fucking elitist, I want to punch them.
I agree. And I live in sort of the land of people being like, oh, TV. And I'm just like, I love TV. TV helped raise me. Like, TV was like an outlet for me to like see the world beyond my sort of like, I mean, I didn't have like a terrible childhood in that sense, but I wasn't seen at home. And so to be able to look at stories and see other people and see other ways to live. And that's why it's so exciting. Like, right now, as someone who's been into TV and movies for so long, where we're at right now, like I was thinking about this the other day with, this is more regards to movies than TV shows, but I feel like there was a period of time in like the mid to late 90s, and this is probably true of you too, where we had seen every gay movie that had ever been made.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely.
Right? Like yes. You would go to the store and like you'd be like, I've seen them all. It's more like, which one are we going to watch again? You know, right. Things like that. Yeah. And you'd just be so excited when someone knew something finally came out. And so it's really amazing now that to be, like when we were comparing notes about what we were going to talk about, and I was like, I'm so behind on so many things, it was kind of amazing to be like, it's a good problem to have. Like there's too much queer stuff. There's too much sex stuff on TV. So
no, and I think it's also, it is the golden age of television. I mean, to me it is. I just feel like there are movies, yes, that are good and whatever, but I feel like the writing and the acting and the stories are happening on television, especially for marginalized folks.
Yeah, and there's just so many different ways of telling stories. Like there's 6-episode series or there's limited series. You know what I mean? There's not just these kind of one model. And I think that really opens up the door too for different types of storytelling.
Of storytelling.
And different types of budgets.
It doesn't have to fit in this like 22-episode traditional network show, which is a fuck of a lot and also costs a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to open with talking about my favorite show on television right now, by far.
Yes. Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. Work.
No, work in progress.
Do it?
Okay. Sorry.
Work in Progress on Showtime. It stars Abby McEnany, and she is a real life self-described fat dyke who has mental health issues. She's based in Chicago, and there's a ton of Chicago queer people in all the background scenes. Basically, she's a dyke. She's in her 40s, and she embarks on this relationship with a 20-something trans guy, her first relationship ever with a trans person, and her life is transformed. That's kind of, you know, the copy that the show will tell you. But let me tell you, this is some of the most authentic writing, casting, character development, storylines, acting. It resonates so much with me. I mean, I see these folks on television and I'm like, I know those people. Like I know that queer person. I know that genderqueer person. I know that drag queen. I know that trans person. Not just I know them because I know everyone in Chicago, because I don't. But they feel really authentic.
Yeah.
And that to me is kind of everything. And they don't, and they feel accessible, and she is hysterical. You know, this is sort of semi-autobiographical, the story. And I just think, they just got picked up for a second season, which makes me so, so happy.
Yeah.
What I want to focus on, though, is the person who plays Abby's love interest, the actor Theo Germain. You may know Theo Germain from the show The Politician, which also has another season coming out. The Politician is very funny. It's Netflix. Theo Germain is a non-binary actor, pronouns he, him. Let's just confirm that on Instagram. Will you do that right now?
If I
fuck this up, it's like horrible. So Theo plays Chris, who's the love interest, who is a trans man in the film. And the chemistry, the way they talk about it. But the biggest thing for me is that the storyline doesn't revolve around Chris being trans. right? It's not a trans coming out. It's not a, oh my God, you're trans. I didn't know you were trans. Basically, a trans person is a fully formed character. The object of desire, which I think is really important, right? Not a sidekick. And the one episode that involves them having sex is just one of the best of sex on TV that I've ever seen. I don't want to spoil it for you because what they've done is so brilliant. But also, it's like, it's sort of like, oh, and now they're having sex and we don't need like explanations and we don't need motions to suggest what the fuck might be going on. And it's not about like, oh, well, who's doing what to whom and who has what like body parts and genitals. It's not that at all. It is just a really hot, fun, relatable sex scene that I just think is groundbreaking on television right now. It is not this sort of glossy, choreographed. I mean, I still feel like even though we're making progress, I still feel like sex can be a kind of like just repetition, right?
Right.
It's like, unless you're watching queer sex, it's always about heterosexual penis and vagina intercourse, unless they make very clear that it's not. But it sort of always ends up there. And I just feel like we have to break this script of that's when it says in the literal script and then they have sex, that it's always just like one or two positions in heterosexual intercourse.
Right, right. So, well, first of all, I did confirm Theo's pronouns are they and he, so you were right. You're fine.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so what the couple things that oh man, yeah, where to start with work in progress. But I'll just from with that right there, thinking about how that what I loved about that episode too was that it was an episode that was characters having sex for the first time, which is pretty common, right? That's mm-hmm. definitely what the trope, right? But the way they handled it felt more like the sex that I had had as a queer person, especially, you know, in my sort of slutty 20s, they talked about it. They knew it was going to happen that night. It was kind of part of the flirtation throughout their talking. They also were talking about like, what, you know, what have you had any diseases? What have you this? What do you about this? Like all the different hangups. Do you like this? What are your boundaries? All that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you just don't really see those negotiations happen a lot. You definitely don't see them happening in that sort of flirty, spontaneous way that I think is very common. Like I think because we're educators or we're dealing with a lot of material, a lot of times things feel very heavy-handed, but when you start to put those tools into practice or when you're an actual real life queer person or a real life sexually active person, the way they kind of get played out is different than in these sort of scripts and these how-to. And that's what I really like about a lot of these shows that we're kind of talking about today, is that I think that's when we're talking about authentic or it feels real. It's like it's these different depictions that are more like these are experiences I've had. And when I watched Work in Progress, I mean, I was so I mentioned earlier, I'm 42. I started this year is my 20th anniversary since I medically transitioned, and I transitioned in Chicago and I lived in Chicago for 17 years. And so I watched that show and I'm like, oh, it's like my life on the screen. You know what I mean? I know it's taking place now, but you know, a lot, still some of those conversations were still sort of happening. But what I like is that they're so expedited now. So for example, like Abby brings, you know, him to a party and they're like, I thought you were a dyke. And she's like, yeah, I sleep with men. You know that I'm a dyke. And they're like, okay. You know, like it's just kind of like, oh yeah, it's fine. And I appreciate that too, where it's like acknowledged, but like you said, it's not like the main focus. There's not all this sort of,
well, the hand wringing, the sort of hand wringing.
Yeah.
What does it mean about Abby's identity? Everyone kind of just goes with it, including like the straight brother-in-law. Okay, listen, we have to take a break. We are so far over right now because we got so excited about Work in Progress.
Oh my gosh.
Let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. We will be back, Raymond and I, talking about sex on TV. Stay with us.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking for It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there. Hey everyone, as Instagram deletes porn star accounts, YouTube and Facebook censor content, dating apps are full of bots. We've talked about all this on the show, and it's becoming more and more difficult for people to connect, especially intimately, online. MyGirlFund.com allows members to form virtual relationships with sexy, amazing women. On MyGirlFund.com, you can meet, message, share photos and videos, and cam with women in private. If you know me, you know that two of my passions are people experiencing pleasure in diverse and shame-free ways, and folks getting paid fairly for their labor. It's very difficult for women to get paid for virtual adult work without risking personal exposure. Many women are willing to do dirty chat and or share nude content for money, but safe and discreet platforms are rare. My Girl Fund allows its female members to control their exposure. They connect with who they want to connect with, control how they want to interact, and decide what they want to charge for these interactions. My Girl Fund has been around since 2009, providing space for people to have intimate interactions that they want. Sign up now at MyGirlFund.com and get ready to meet and make connections with women in a safe, private, adult community.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we're live. I'm live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Raymond Johnson is also live in Asheville, North Carolina. I forgot to give you the phone number because you can call in and tell us your favorite sex on TV. The number, if you're listening now, is 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. And then if you're not listening live but still want to tell us about your favorite sexy, inclusive, nuanced, amazing sex on TV, call 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Okay. We have a lot to cover, but I want to say one final thing about work in progress.
Yes.
And this is not going to come as news to anyone, I don't think, which is I have a giant crush on Theo Germain. And I don't think that's even going to be like a surprise to Theo Germain. Just trust me on that, okay? But I just think, I also think that Theo is an amazing actor and has now created these two different roles where he is a sexual actor. He is the object of desire. He is a player in the game. He's not a sidekick. He's not outside of it all. And that I really love, and that's what we need to see more of for trans and non-binary and genderqueer folks.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, pretty just one last thing before we end this episode of the Work in Progress fan podcast.
It's the whole Work in Progress.
Okay. I mean, I literally get misty-eyed every episode. Like, there's just something in it that just makes me feel so just moved by just seeing, like, you know, seeing stuff on, you know, seeing things depicted and feeling like less alone. And, you know, representation is complicated and it's not everything and it has its drawbacks, but when the positives happen, it's really, really pretty amazing. So it's really great to see it with the show. So, yeah.
Okay, we're going to shift gears into what I believe is mostly heterosexuality. And you're going to tell me about couples therapy on Showtime.
I am. And it's not just about heterosexuality, which is part of why I love it, too.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, so I am a huge fan of shows that are about therapy. So about 10 or 12 years ago now, Jesus, there was an HBO show called Tell Me You Love Me, which was a fictional TV show that kind of followed three or four couples, and it was them going to a sex therapist, and it was a mix of them in the office and then in their life outside of it. And then my other favorite show is In Treatment, which is an HBO show from also probably 8 or 9 years ago. And that one was really amazing. It was Gabriel Byrne, and it was like every episode was just you in the room with the therapist and the person talking. So, you know, like you're kind of feeling like you were in an episode or a therapy office, but really edited down. Mm-hmm. So this new show, Couples Therapy on Showtime, not to be confused with the short-lived, there was a VH1 trashy reality Couples Therapy with celebrity people.
There was. It's not that.
It's not that. It's not a reboot. It's this whole other thing. But it's a documentary series. So it's actually, you are watching real life couples in a therapy session. And the doctor whose name I wrote down, but to put it on a piece of paper that I walked away from while I was talking. She was a real life couples therapist, and they approached her about doing the show. She's like, I don't know about that. But then she kind of worked with the producers about how they were going to kind of like bring the couples in. So they had this like casting call with 1,000 different people who came in, and they were really looking for couples who were in it because they needed the therapy versus wanting to be on TV per se.
Of course.
So there's four couples, and there is one lesbian couple, a same sex couple, and one of the women in that couple is a trans woman. So that's really awesome too. It's really awesome to see a queer relationship depicted. And that queer trans relationship, they're the only white people on the show. So it's also really nice just to see a lot of different stories. There's a lot of different demographics and a lot of different things coming out in this. And they film it so that all the cameras are behind one-way mirrors, like tilted around the room. So they don't know, there's no like camera crew in the room. So obviously everyone knows.
Which they know it, but it makes a difference when they're right there, like under
Absolutely.
Your face.
Absolutely. So it's like real therapy is happening. And then each episode is edited down. So they're really only 30 minutes long, but you get an update with all four of the couples. So they really cut to obviously kind of the magic epiphany moments of the therapy, and not they skip a lot of the sort of boring, like the real life work that going to therapy is.
Right.
But what I love about therapy shows on TV is that to me, they feel like booster shots. Like as someone who has been in therapy several times, and maybe like if I'm in and out or I'm in a period where I'm not, sometimes I get into these shows and I go back and revisit some old journals and I feel a little bit like, oh, okay, great. It's a little bit like a little bit of like make do therapy mixed in with that. But also just therapeutic in that sense of like, again, seeing other people and seeing in these relationships. And they're having really amazing conversations about trauma, about sexuality, about desire and attraction. And I really recommend it. The woman who is the therapist is really great, too. So if you're a fan of In Treatment, as I mentioned, you should definitely check out Couples Therapy. If you're someone who's currently on a wait list or struggling to find a couples therapist or trying to convince your partner to see a couples therapist, maybe shows like this could be kind of a way. I think it also kind of demystifies the process a little bit, so people can sort of see like why do we talk about our problems? Because I think people still kind of have that sort of hang up, or they have that sort of fear about, I can't talk about this in front of someone else. I'll die of an embarrassment. But then you're seeing these people who are doing it not only in front of their partner and a therapist, but cameras and all these other producers and things like that. So,
well, I think you bring up a really good point, which is, and it also speaks to the point about you saying, you know, showing Abby and Chris like negotiating first time sex, and that is like we need role models and examples. We don't see people talking about their relationships,
right?
Except in like a sort of rom-com way, which is total and utter bullshit.
Right.
We need more like, we need more role play. We need more models. We need more people doing this in front of us so that we also can have the language and the understanding about how to do it.
And a lot of it's like the conversations that happen years later. So that's the other thing too. We maybe see some of the traumas depicted or the drama, but then we get the sort of, oh, everything ended up okay. But then what about like 3 years later when you're still coping and when you're still healing and when you're still trying to work out these patterns and things like that. So
I
like stuff that kind of shows stuff like later on in the process, years into the relationship, not just the beginning of relationships.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that scares me is just that my last couples therapy experience was like hell on earth, but I think it was just...
You don't need that right now, and that's like, totally fine.
It might be triggering for me, like it just
right. It's totally fine. It's gonna be there. It'll be there for you whenever you need it. That's the beauty of HBO and Showtime shows. Yeah. Is they're on there forever. You can watch them years later.
They're on there forever. Exactly. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so I'm gonna use my 2 minutes to talk about the L word, Generation Q.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, so tell me what have you been experiencing so far.
I want to tell you the truth that I was not a watcher or a fan of the original L word, which I know makes me lose any shred of lesbian or dyke identity I might have, but there it is, people. I didn't watch the L word.
Yeah, I think I saw a couple random episodes here or there, exactly. but that's about it.
I was not like a regular watcher, like going to parties, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So here's what I'll say. I mean, the L word to me is kind of is the opposite of work in progress in that it's expensive, the production values, everyone is very conventionally beautiful. It's LA, so it's very glossy. Now, that said, there is a lot more racial diversity than there has been. And there's some gender diversity. I'm still looking for like some more butches. I'm going to keep pushing that there aren't enough butches in the show.
You know, LA soft butches even, or not even that?
There's LA soft butches, but I need Shane to cut her hair ASAP. And I can't let it go. And everyone keeps telling me to let it go. But until she cuts her hair and like, I can't with Shane. I love the masculine energy, but I want the short hair. You guys can, you know, yell at me about that, whatever you want. But let me tell you, there's two trans guy characters. One of them has a great storyline about developing a relationship with a cis guy. And I think some of the stuff that they've explored there around sexuality has been real. It can be a tiny bit heavy-handed, maybe a tiny bit, but again, if a mainstream audience is watching this, I think, and they're both super, super hot, and they're both not white, so I like that in there. And then, of course, the very first episode opened with period sex between two of the female leads, which, you know, you gotta love Showtime, and everyone sat around and was like, hey guys, let's be real. And period sex is 100% fucking real, especially if there are two people with uteruses in the relationship. That chick could be like half your time together, half your lifetime, two weeks out of every month. So I'm going to give you props for that. And now we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Raymond wants to talk about Watchmen. And I want to talk about Mrs. Fletcher. We're also going to talk about sex education and sex explained and Big Mouth. Hopefully we'll get to all that.
Oh my
hey,
gosh.
If you want to call us live, 866-472-5788, or you can tweet us. We'll be back.
Hi, everyone. You may have heard me talking about Erica Lust's new adult film studio, Lust Cinema, over the past few months. Well, this is your final call, people, because you only have 2 weeks left to enjoy the introductory offer of just $5 for 1 month. $5. Go to lustcinema.com/Tristan and pay $5 to access a whole catalog of adult films, as well as performer interviews and behind-the-scenes footage so that you can get a closer look at your favorite stars. There are no extra fees or hidden costs, and you can cancel at any time. On the site, you'll find Lust Cinema original feature-length films and original series shot by Erica Lust, and plenty of other female directors, as well as a huge catalog of licensed content. Just like Erica's work, you're not going to find any reductive casting of performers. There's no boring porn stereotypes and no damaging fetishization. Just very hot sex. Equal pleasure, believable storylines, and cinematic quality. So if you want to experience everything that Lust Cinema has to offer for just $5, go to lustcinema.com/Tristan now.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It's a special treat here on Friday, January 24th. We are live. We, meaning me and senior producer Raymond Johnson.
Hi,
Raymond. And I am broadcasting live from Self Serve, an amazing feminist, sex positive, inclusive sex shop in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm in the workshop space right now. A workshop is going to start at 7:30. It's L Chase's Big Beautiful Sex. I can't wait. Okay, so now we are going to move on to, we're talking about sex and TV, and Raymond's going to talk about Watchmen, which I haven't seen yet and is on my queue.
Oh my gosh, Tristan, it's probably one of the best TV shows I've watched of last year. I read the graphic novel and I saw the movie. And I liked both, which is kind of unusual. I feel like people are either have these rabid, you know, are super into it or super negative feelings. But I kind of, there are things I liked about it. And so I had kind of modest expectations with this new show. But stylistically, it's amazing. The way they have kind of, okay, so let me back up a little bit. It basically takes place now, but it's an alternate universe, America. So it's a continuation. So the original Watchmen kind of, it takes place in the 80s. And it's really talking about these questions of superheroes and what are the morals of them and what is their place. And now the modern day Watchmen has that sort of same idea, but now the people in masks are the police. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on around police stuff. The whole series kicks off with the depiction of the Tulsa Wall Street Massacre that happened in 1921, I believe. Sometimes it's referred to as a race riot, but that's not actually fair. It was basically white people went to the black neighborhood in Tulsa and burned it down and killed a lot of people. And so it starts off with this character who survives that, and then they're moving forward to Tulsa in the modern day. So Regina King is the lead in it. She is amazing. She's a national treasure. I'm so excited to see her like have a role where she gets to play this sort of really kind of complicated badass. Her mask character is, her kind of alter ego is Night Watch, and she wears this amazing like black hooded leather apron with a face mask and a rosary. So if you're into any sort of like, you know, that type of
you play, had the leather
some nice
apron.
Visuals
you
on
had
that.
The leather
yes,
apron.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's also just amazingly well lit, Tristan. Which you know sometimes like you don't always see that like because the lighting is meant for specific skin tones. So to have like a black actress in black makeup. It's shot in a scene at night, and you could make out her acting in her eyes. Like, it's just really amazing. So there's really good stuff, and like across the board on that. But storytelling-wise is what, I mean, that's what got me in, is every episode surprised me. And there was a moment where you think it's going to maybe go someplace, and it goes in a different direction. There's a lot of weird, like, there's also great stuff with one of the original superheroes ends up having a gay affair with another one. So there's sort of interesting, complicated stuff, queer stuff around that. Also, Jean Smart, who also kind of has the role of a lifetime. She is really amazing in it. She has this great scene involving a giant blue dildo, which is kind of hard to explain without seeing it. But like, there's just all this stuff you just are not expecting to see on television, much less in a TV show about like, heroes and white supremacy and masks and trauma and generational things and just history and all the stuff. And it's really spectacular. And I really it's worth all the hype that it's getting. And it really just has some hot sex, including between Regina King and her husband, which is really nice to see, like, a couple, you know, who are many years into their marriage and to have to display intimacy. And that was really nice too. And just into all the sort of weird stuff that I don't want to totally spoil other than
You know what that makes me think of though is, you know, I loved Jessica Jones. It only ran for 2 seasons and it's also a kind of a superhero. And I don't like superhero things, but this was like, almost the entire writing staff was women, is directed by a woman, and their depiction of trauma, relationship trauma, sexual trauma was just so on the nose. However, the sex scenes in that show were awful.
Yeah. I kind of gave up. I watched season one and then I never really went back for season two.
It disappointed me because I had these expectations. If you
it's like it almost gets it and then it doesn't. Yeah.
And then it falls short, which
is frustrating.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, speaking of things like, so you have been watching Mrs. Fletcher. I watched the first couple episodes and I love Catherine Hahn, who stars Mrs. Fletcher.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I loved about it. But I was so scared of her son and that character, and it was hard for me to watch in a minute. So can we talk about Mrs. Fletcher a little bit?
Yeah, let's talk about Mrs. Fletcher. Well, first of all, let me say that the acting ensemble is spectacular. It feels like every single person is bringing their A game. My friend and hero, Jen Richards, is in it.
Yes.
And she plays...
Oh, she is so awesome.
The trans woman character, and she's so great. And she also has a love interest, which I love to see. So the acting is phenomenal. Mrs. Fletcher is a kind of empty nester whose son goes away to college. She's divorced, and she's ready to kind of explore her sexuality. And Catherine Hahn brings this character to life, I think, with even more depth than the book did, because Catherine Hahn's brilliant.
It's almost like if you took kind of her character from like the Bad Moms movie and some of the comedy movies and actually injected it with a lot more like drama and pathos and real life. Totally.
Her son is the product of toxic masculinity, both in our society, from mainstream porn, and his father is kind of a douchebag. So he is off to college and figuring himself out, and you just know where this is going, right? He doesn't have any good lessons or role models around sex and boundaries and consent and sexual communication. My God. And it is difficult to watch. You're right. It's difficult to watch. It's like, I don't even know if we are supposed to have sympathy or empathy for him, but he's not a sympathetic character. It's difficult. However, what I will say to people is, if you haven't watched it all the way through, the final episode is like such an enormous payoff. It is such a great, like, season finale that I sort of lost my mind. Like, I was like, now we're talking. There's a lot.
All right. So, okay, I'll keep going then.
I don't want to spoil it, but I will say
that's
like,
kind of what it boils down to, right? It's about trust. It's like trust in a show.
Gets amazing, and there's like so much. They could just spend one season unpacking that last episode and all the shit that happened. I really like it. I feel like it's in general, it's, you know, tackling issues that are current right now. I've had several conversations with people about like, is this kid who's like 18, 19, is he redeemable?
Yeah.
Can you intervene in someone's life at that age and say, listen, everything you know about consent and relationships and women and sex and desire is wrong and is dysfunctional and is toxic? Like, can he, and I mean this for like, you know, some of the kids I see on college campuses when I speak and stories I hear, like, we are in a trash fire of toxic masculinity, And I don't know how to interrupt it when it feels like it just keeps repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself. And it's literally killing people.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and I think the question can't be, is he redeemable? It has to be, he is redeemable. Otherwise, there's no point, right? But I think the question is, what is the redemption process? Well, how do we transform it? What is the educational, all of that sort of piece? And it's so overwhelming. I think the temptation is to say, nope, not redeemable.
Right. And also,
right? And that's my reaction too. Yeah. Nope, can't watch that show. Nope, can't see him, you know? Yeah.
Well, and also the show's not about him, right?
No, like, it's not. It's not.
But he is the most difficult part of the show to watch. Certainly, I love all the stuff around just having a kind of a sexual coming of age in your 40s. I mean, I know the story. I know these women. They are my friends. They come to my workshops. They write me emails. So I know there is such a thing as coming of age sexually in your 40s. And it can be so fucking liberating and amazing. And I feel like they have captured that part. While at the same time, because she's not like a millennial, she's having all these mixed feelings about, like, how, you know, the fantasy she's having and what she's thinking about and the fact that she's watching porn. All of it, she has a lot of ambivalence about. That's why I feel like that last episode is payoff, because she dives in with both feet and it's glorious.
Oh my God,
and also has an amazing kind of aftermath. So we're going to have to take another break soon. I want to say that Amber texted me and said, I can't believe you're not talking about Gentleman Jack. And I just don't think we can get to Gentleman Jack, but I will say Gentleman Jack is a period piece. It's about lesbians. It's about real life lesbian Anne Lister. And it's one of the best shows on television. I fucking loved it. And the sex is like time period appropriate, but yet also super fucking hot. So I don't know how they managed to do it. I mean, the acting's really good, but it's just like, you know, through all those corsets and hoop skirts and a lot of layers of petticoats, they are getting it done. And on that note, let's get our commercials done, shall we? And then we will come back and talk more about sex on TV. Stay with us.
Happy New Year from the Pleasure Chest. January is full of amazing pleasure ed classes, including in Los Angeles, January 22nd, Big Sex, Body Positive Sex to Empower Your Sex Life with Elle Chase. January 25th, Asian Femmes Speak Out, a panel on sexuality and stereotypes. In New York, on the Upper East Side, January 15th is a squirt shop, and January 29th is a class on pegging. At the West Village location, January 16th is Asking For It. In Chicago, January 8th, it's Suck It, Lick It, Love It, all about oral sex, and January 15th, BDSM Basics. Plus, from January 14th to the 20th, there's an early bird Valentine's Day special. You can get 20% off most popular couples toys. Some exclusions apply, online only. Beginning January 17th through February 11th, purchase any WeVibe and get a WeVibe toy bag gift in-store and online. As always, go to pleasurechest.com for these deals, to find out about events, and to get yourself something special while you're there.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It is just me and Raymond kicking it tonight, talking about television. And our next topic of conversation is, in fact, another one of the best television shows happening now, which is the Netflix series Sex Education.
That's the one Twitter's on fire about. Everyone has been, who has been tweeting, is
yes, mentioned that. Like, why haven't you gone to Sex Education? Honey, we're getting there. We're getting there.
That's right. We have to save it for the, it's the big act. We got to save it for the big act.
I mean, the thing about this show, so the second season just dropped. The kid, so it takes place at a high school. So most of the characters are high school students. And then the mother of one of the high school students is a sex therapist played by Gillian Anderson. You know, I still have a hard on from about Gillian Anderson from the fucking X-Files. So she can do no wrong. She's amazing.
With a British accent, no less.
With a British accent.
Sex therapist. Yeah.
And she's perfected a British accent. So she's like the only American who can do a British accent well. It's, you know, again, this is about authenticity, I think. It feels really real. And it also kind of begs the question, who can young people go to talk about this? I mean, one of the central themes in this is that everyone in the school is having a question, an issue, a problem, a challenge around their sexuality. And they need to talk to someone. They don't end up talking to Gillian Anderson. They actually end up talking to their peers. But I feel like that's really realistic, right?
Yeah, that absolutely.
Kids are like flailing around for sex information. And then when they hear someone might know some things, and those things are told to you without shame and without judgment and in really sex positive ways, then all of a sudden, you know, they have, you know, this main character has a line out the door. So I love that about the show. I also love that it does capture a sort of a frenetic, confusing time around sex, you know, like, there's this in the first episode of the second season, there's just this funny thing that's happening to the main character about masturbation. And it really, it's like hysterical. It's a funny device, but it's also true that like your hormones can be so intense during that period that you're just like, I see and think about sex like everywhere. And even when I don't want to be thinking about sex, I'm thinking about sex. And so it's really funny. And all the actor kids who are probably, I guess, young, probably in their 20s, are great. Have you seen it? Have you seen it?
I've only seen the beginning of season one. It's one that I need to go back to. It's funny because, well, one of the things that I do like about it is that I like that it touches on a lot of awkward moments realistically without dipping too far into the like comedic shame thing. Like I feel like
American Pie, like movie.
Yeah. Like there's definitely moments where that are funny, but they're not necessarily like, it's kind of like everyone is sort of in on the awkward funny versus it being like one person is kind of targeted as the sort of thing about
it.
Yeah. But you know, that show kind of came out around the same time as Big Mouth, which is funny. It's an animated American show, but it's all about adolescence and it's also all about hormones and change and things like that. And it takes a very sort of crude comedic take. And both of those shows I kind of started and then I was almost like, oh, I'm not ready for this. Like I was all like, oh my God, it kind of made me realize, like, you know, I was talking about earlier, like we think that we've worked through stuff, but it kind of made me realize like, I still have some unworked through stuff from the fact that like my sex education didn't come until I self-educated when I moved away to college, you know? So seeing all these teenagers and in Big Mouth, it's like more like 12, 13 year olds, but seeing all them have this experience that I didn't have, like you were saying, I didn't have those resources. I didn't have those conversations with my peers, all of that, things like that. I can sort of see how like, even though I think think of myself right now as someone who can have these conversations readily, the truth is that when it comes to my relationships and my intimacy, we all have blockages and hangups and things like that. And I feel like the people I know who are loving sex education right now, they're all like 30s and 40s and 50s. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't actually know. Like, I hope that maybe young people are watching this show, but I don't actually, know if they are.
It is a fantasy in that way, right? That we look back on our younger years and kind of wish there was anyone, a single parent talking about it in these non-judgmental, open ways. And of course, the conversations with Gillian Anderson and her son are hysterical, but also she's like trying. She's desperately trying to make sexuality like open and honest and a part of like everyday conversation around you know, the kitchen table. And I appreciate that. And I feel like we all kind of like yearned for that, right? For a place where we could talk about things and have it not be so filled with shame, judgment, anxiety, you know, all the things that sex is still in 2020, like steeped in for people.
Right. Just because it's connected to emotions as well, you know, and that's something that we struggle with. And I didn't have like negative. It's not like I had programming about sex was bad. It was almost like I just had no programming.
Nothing. Yeah.
So if you have like something's going to fill that void, whether you put something there or not, you know, like, right. Like with my parents, it was like you have the talk, you have a conversation. And then that's just like one awkward conversation you're just supposed to hold on to like a talisman for the rest of your adolescence and go back to or whatever. So
I don't remember even having a conversation, but I do remember my mother taking me to my pediatrician to get birth control.
Oh,
I mean, technically when you're under 18, you can still go to your pediatrician for anything.
Right.
I did like her very much. She was this amazing British woman. I do remember my mom taking me to get birth control. So at some point someone thought Tristan's having sex and I was, and I didn't deny it, but like, I don't even, it's so waspy. Like, I don't remember.
Right.
Was it a nod? Was it a wink? Was it like
right.
a post-it that said, I'm taking you to get birth control on Thursday, be there. I don't even know. Like, I don't even remember how it came about.
Yeah. Mine was like, I think either fifth or sixth grade, and they bus us all to like the science center, and then they like split us by gender.
Oh,
and then
I had that in sixth grade. Yeah,
right. And so what they do though, what was kind of clever is that they give you all that sort of the technical stuff, but then they purposely leave it hanging. Like it was an after hours thing, so you had to come with your parent. And so they were like,
well,
so
I didn't
in order,
have that. Okay, I didn't
and,
have that.
And so then it was like they gave you the you know how the biological stuff, and then they're like, so for the sex piece, we're going to leave that to your parents to talk to you about on the drive home. So I think that, so then that's basically what happened. Is like my sex talk happened. I remember being in the car with my mom and her like driving and talking about like, you know, your father and I like to call it this, and we know that the man lies close to the woman or whatever, you know, the hetero line was and stuff like that. But it's funny that I have this memory of like being in the car at night and then hearing my mom explain what sex was, you know. So
it's such a strange setup. I mean, I like to create opportunities for people to talk about sex. So on the one hand, like the fact that school kind of set this whole thing up, and then you were all with your parents and you were all had a drive home.
Right.
I kind of like, but then it also feels kind of coercive, because what should have happened, Raymond Johnson, in my mind, is that before you took the seminar class, watched the film strip, whatever, all of the parents should have had a sex ed class.
Right.
Because that's the thing. We say, oh my God, your parents should talk to you about this. But our parents were also raised with no sex ed. So where are they supposed to get the information? And how are they supposed to know how to talk about it?
Yeah.
You know, so they should have had a class. Then you have a class and you put you guys together. And maybe have like an escape room situation where if you don't have the conversation, you can't get out.
And so you figure out what your kid likes, like this, the answer to this. You won't find the key. Oh my gosh.
I think people like games. So I'm positing that this could be a new subgenre for escape room.
I like a sexy escape room. Oh my God, do sexy escape rooms exist? Because we need to get offline and find out what that domain right now.
Okay, listen, we're out of time.
Oh my gosh. Jonathan. That's the end.
Next week, we've got Dixie Delator from Body Storytelling. We're going to talk about dirty stories. You can find me on social media across platforms at Tristan Taramino. Where can everyone find you on the Twitter and the blah, blah, blah?
I'm on Twitter at Raymond J, and I'm on Instagram at Purple Fluorite Music. That's my music, Purple Fluorite. If you look me up on all the platforms, you can listen to my music that way, too.
Okay, my thanks to you. My thanks to my engineer, Andrew. Tune in next week, same time, same place, everyone. Either listen to us live or catch us wherever you get your podcasts. And please do call our hotline and tell us what your favorite TV shows are, because we want to know. Okay, that's it.
That's a wrap on today's show. go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.